Tired of the macho drinking culture? It's time to redefine manhood. Real Men Quit, the game-changing book that proves real strength isn't in a drink. Take control, boost performance, and reduce stress. Man up and grab your copy on Amazon today, or visit buskerandbrown.com for free merchandise.
Welcome to Flatpack Sober, the wonderful AF, with your host Duncan Buskaran Brown.
Hey there, sober superstars. Welcome to Flatpack Sober, your catalogue of tips, tricks, and tactics to design your alcohol-free life. Now, I've been very lucky over the years. I've interviewed some really, really interesting and massively successful people. And sometimes what they do is their assistant will send me their media pack and say, oh, have you got everything you need, darling? And I think that today's guest be a little bit different to that. In fact, I'm pretty confident he doesn't have a media pack. Could probably just introduce him by saying he's a great guy and he's got a job and he's got a family and he's got a hobby. And the thing is, what I think he's going to prove today is that you don't have to be some kind of giant big shot. You know, I think it's really, really important that if you have walked down the path, then you have something valid and you have something important and you have something interesting to say. So, Jimin, no pressure, but I hope you're going to prove me right today.
No pressure at all.
So just before we get into maybe a slightly more complete biography, shall we say, I'm guessing that you are familiar with IKEA furniture. You know the whole flat pack thing, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Cool. So if I gave you, I don't know, Billy bookcase, a little bit of IKEA furniture, asked you to build it, what would be your approach? How would you get started?
In fact, I threw one of those away the other day. Been there, done that. Put loads of IKEA stuff together by coming to my own with DIY, because I love DIY. So, you know, fine, absolutely, no problem.
Yeah, do you just get stuck in, or do you like to lay everything out?
Open the box and just go for it. Put some music on. I sort of have to have music on with whatever I'm doing. So
I like the music. That's a nice touch. What are you listening to?
Oh, all sorts of things. The Jam's probably the biggest one for me. Paul Weller fan. Anything specials, Scar, Mod, all that kind of stuff.
Like I'd say you raided my record collection, but it's all MP3 these days, isn't it?
So, yeah.
Like you've hacked my music collection, but no, excellent. So look, do you just generally kind of get stuck in? Do you get started with stuff? Is that your sort of approach to problems, your approach to life in general?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, probably you hit the nail on the head there. A lot of people think about stuff before they really get stuck in, but I just go for it, I think, 9 times out of 10 anyway. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
That's absolutely cool. And, you know, what I like to do right at the start is help people get an idea of what your sober style is. So you're obviously the dynamo. You like to get stuck in. You like to do things. And that is cool. And we like to start with that because some people are going to be like, oh, yeah, Benjamin, I am with you on that. Stick on the jam, get stuck in. And some people, they're maybe a bit more reflective and they won't kind of like necessarily approach things like that. So I think it helps people to understand that where you're coming from. So what you say, it might resonate a lot with them, and then they, you know, they won't struggle to follow that advice, but actually it might not resonate with them. And sometimes that means you really need to take that piece of advice. So now we've worked out where you're coming from. Tell us a little bit about your journey with alcohol.
I would say I was a heavy drinker, or definitely a regular drinker. Not spirits. I did enjoy my beer a bit too much. I'm talking sort of 8 to 10 cans a night, every night. Come from quite a sociable family. So alcohol's always been around, parties, barbecues, that kind of thing. So it's always been the norm, not forced upon you, but it's always been there. I tried to quit a couple of times successfully for long periods. I sort of did dry January once, and that ended up going to the end of March. And then I think it was about 4 years ago, I sort of wanted to get into a bit of, sort of tone myself up a bit. So knocked the beer on the head. I was doing fine for a couple of months, and then Christmas sort of comes along and you're like, oh, you're gonna have a drink, you're not gonna be boring, oh, you go, oh, go on then, I'll have one turns into two, and then you have some the next night, and then before you know, you're back to square one. That's been my sort of journey. So I tried moderating, it doesn't work for me. I'm sure a lot of people are the same. So I tried moderating, didn't work. So I sort of made the decision last year to go for it full hog.
Oh, and did you have any support? Did you use a particular system, or did you just go, right?
Literally that. I sort of did the same with smoking. Like, oh God, 25 years ago, just decided I'd had enough. I think I've finished the ones I'd got on that day, and that was it. Same with beer, really. I'd got some in the house, finished them, so there's nothing left in the house, and then that was it. I did buy some non-alcoholic stuff, some alcohol-free beers.
I have a feeling we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a while, but before we get into that, like, you didn't even have the symbolic, like, I'll pour the last can down down the sink. You didn't want to waste it.
I have done that before when I sort of wanted to take myself up. I got my kids to go and pour the rest, what was in the house, down the toilet. So yeah, done that. But no, I just had the last ones and that was it. One night, finished them.
So do you think that the fact that you've done that with the cigarettes in the past, do you think that kind of like helped you?
Yeah, with me, it's all or nothing. And I knew it had to be nothing. So I don't know, that's just the way I dealt with it. I didn't really think about it so much. I just knew I didn't want to do it anymore. Simple as that.
Well, one of a better word, you just got stuck in, right? You just went, let's not overthink it.
I don't do things half-assed, basically. So.
Cool. And do you think there's any advantages to getting sober that way? Do you think it's helped you in any way?
I think it all depends on the person, doesn't it? You know, everyone's different. So, you know, their approach, somebody else's approach to it is going to be completely different to mine, and it'll suit them, you know, and that's just the way it suited me.
Yeah. So it suited you because it was your path. You found your way of doing it, worked out very well for you. And that's great. So if you were going to pick one thing and say, like, this is the thing that really helps me to stay sober, this is the kind of the thing I can't live without, what would that be?
I think I just sort of focused on my kids, really wanted to be a better role model for them. I've got three kids. One's sort of grown up now. She's in her early 20s, but I've got two smaller kids. So yeah, I wanted to be a better role model for them is probably the main reason. Or kept me focused anyway, for sure.
Yeah, so it's all about kind of, you know, connecting with that kind of that purpose that you have for your life, but also that identity, kind of a little bit about who you want to be, the father that you want to be.
Yeah.
Cool. So have you made any other big changes since you got sober? Have there been any sort of like really big life changes?
I don't want to say change. Well, other than moving home, we're moving hopefully in a month, and I'm 100% sure I wouldn't be doing that if I was still drinking.
Okay. So why wouldn't you be doing it?
Because I'd be more concentrating on making sure that I've got money left over for a drink each night.
Oh, okay. So it's mostly the money. You're going to afford to live somewhere nicer now you're not spending all that money on beer.
Yeah. I mean, I could have done it before. Nothing's changed financially. I'm not in a different job or anything. I haven't had a massive pay rise or anything like that. It's just I'll just be more focused on, you know, what I want to do from now on. And before, it would have just been making sure I've got a drink each night, you know, and for the rest of the month, I suppose, up until the next payday.
There's something a bit deeper than just the money then, isn't there? There's the kind of like focus that we were so focused on getting a drink. That was what was important. Everything else kind of got pushed to one side.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I always kind of like to ask people if there are any products that they use that have helped them stay sober. So have you found anything useful?
As in the alcohol-free sort of beers? Yeah, I mean, I tried loads of different types, and I found the Aldi and Lidl ones I preferred out of some of the main brand ones. Heineken one's okay. Which ones I didn't like? I didn't like the Budweiser one. I did Budweiser do one, I think. BrewDog ones, they're horrible as well. I didn't like them, but they went straight in the bin. But what I did find is because I suffer with gout, and because when people say, you know, you've got gout, you need to cut out your rich living, cut out the alcohol, cut out the, you know, steaks and all that kind of stuff. So that was another reason for quitting the alcohol. But then what I did find that it was the purine that was in the alcohol-free beers, which was just doing me just as much damage. So I've since sort of packed them in. I do have one occasionally. I'm like one or two on a weekend, and that's about it. So I've packed all them in now, really.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's a couple of very interesting things in that. I managed to give myself gout through excessive living as well. And I know a lot of people are just going to think that we're wimpy blokes with our man flu and everything, but it hurts, doesn't it?
It's flipping painful. It comes on. You can go to bed one night feeling absolutely fine and wake up in the morning and you literally cannot walk. It's strange. And because I'm a keen runner as well, so every time I got gout, it would just knock me out from doing that, which I found really upsetting. So that's why, like I say, another main reason for quitting is to make sure I didn't get that, or to reduce it.
And I mean, alcohol plays a huge role in that. In fact, there was a study where they took people with incredibly well-controlled gout. So they were actually in a hospital setting and they were having their meds like totally monitored. Their gout was really, really well controlled. And then just giving them a glass or two of wine, I think it was, with their meals, brought on an attack. So yeah, cutting out the alcohol, it's obviously like a really good idea if you've got gout. But what you're saying is that the alcohol-free beer was bringing on attack as well.
Yeah. It wasn't because I was on medication for the gout as well, but I was still getting it. And then it did some sort of research on the internet and found out, speaking to the doctors, that it was it's the purine and that's in the hops, I believe. So it was just doing as much damage. So it knocked them on the head, pretty much.
Yeah, do you see, I think that's so interesting. And look, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from anybody. You know, if you're going down the pub drinking 8 pints of Heineken Zero and that's working out for you, you know, like, don't let me stand in your way. But I think it is really interesting to kind of take that step back and say, well, actually, there is a health implication of drinking these drinks. It's not the same as drinking water. There is more stuff in it than that, isn't there?
Yeah. Again, though, going back to that, another reason why I wanted to sort of stop drinking alcohol-free anyway, I only started using them just to sort of wean me off the, because you've still got the habit, even if you're not having the alcohol, you're still in that drinking habit. So I wanted to sort of break away. You know, I'm fine with that. The alcohol, don't need that at all. It doesn't bother me one iota. But I was still in the habit of drinking, still buying the AF beers. So I just wanted to have a proper break away from it, which I have done now.
Yeah, no, you see, I think that's really interesting as well, because I think a lot of us, we tend to sort of think of it as like, you'd stop drinking. That is like it's one day. And in fact, people will often say they're one day. Was it the 7th of October or did I make that up? Did you stop on the 7th of October?
It was the 2nd, so it was last week.
It was close, wasn't it? But we're quite keen on our sober dates, aren't we? And I don't want to take that away from anybody. But I think what your story kind of illustrates is that really for you, stopping was a period of time as much as anything else.
Yeah. Put it on my LinkedIn post last week. I was glad to get to the 12-month sort of milestone to A, so that I can say, yeah, I've done it for a whole year now. But I think I've been so focused on worrying about something I don't do anymore, or thinking about something I don't do anymore. So now I've got to 12 months, I can hopefully just sort of move on now and not think about that so much, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, a lot of things that I don't do anymore, and I don't spend a lot of time thinking about them. You know, I used to listen to some god awful music, but I don't think about that anymore. It's not who I am. So I get that. And now you're more focused on who you are rather than what you used to do.
Yeah. I mean, my little girl, so it was about a week before the sort of soberversary, as I call it. And I said to my little girl, I said, it's a whole week next week on the 2nd when I haven't had a drink. And she went, you remembered the day? I went, yeah, sure. That's really sad. But that's my daughter for you. She's only 10, but a comment like that is typical of her. So I went, yeah, it is a bit really, yeah. But yeah, so now it's gone. I can just sort of move on. And I don't want to become one of those people that go, well, I don't drink, or, you know, and just tell people I don't drink. I don't want that to become me. I don't drink. It's fine. It's, you know, I'm going to bang on about it so much now, I feel.
Yeah, no, I think that's really, really important. God, I love children.
Yeah.
But it's something that struck me about that is, I'm sure you'll recognize this. When you have kids, right, they start off and their age is measured in days, isn't it? And then their age starts getting measured in weeks. And then it starts getting measured in months. And then it starts getting measured in years. And then, like, your eldest, it's measured in decades now, because you said she's just 20-something, right?
22, yeah, 22.
You had to think about that, didn't you? But the same sort of thing with sobriety for you, you know, it started off days, it's weeks, it's months. Now it's a year. It's kind of like it's not really a thing anymore. You're not kind of focused on it.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Although, to be honest with you, if anybody has a one-year-old child, you should probably still focus on it a little bit.
That's kind of important.
Free parenting advice that we chuck in there every now and again. So have you joined any new communities? Have you found any groups of people really useful to help you with your sobriety?
So I'm not on any social media other than LinkedIn, which there's people on there, which I thanked last week. Laura Everson, who you did a podcast with.
Zero Queen.
She's been brilliant, watching her journey, following that. It's been amazing. So I catch up with Janet Headley, Adam Smith. It's been a few people. So yeah, a real good support group on LinkedIn. And it's not until you sort of, until you're in it, until you're in the sobriety, you realize how many people are out there all on the same sort of journey and like one big support group, really, all sort of helping each other, which has been a big help. Yeah. For sure.
And what I have found is that they're very generous people as well. They're you know, they're happy to share their time with you and their love and support. And that's really important as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. And I think it's very interesting that you mentioned LinkedIn, because I don't go on TikTok. But other than that, you know, I'm pretty familiar with the sober communities on Instagram and Facebook, and they are quite big and they are quite active. But LinkedIn, you know, being more professional, being more work related, you would have thought it doesn't have a lot of support to it. But what you're saying is you found groups, is it? But you
Well, more sort of individuals, really. I think LinkedIn's changed a lot sort of over COVID, really. I mean, before it was all very work orientated, and I think there's still people on there now which go, oh, you know, this isn't Facebook, you shouldn't be putting stuff like that on here, but yeah, whatever, don't read it, move on, go and read something else if you're bothered about it. But there's a lot of personal stuff on there, and I found it a great lot of supporting people on there.
Yeah, it's been good for me. Yeah, and you haven't found, I guess, anybody sort of criticizing you from a work point of view, saying, oh, we don't want to think about that?
No, absolutely not. Not at all.
I guess there's probably something a little bit deeper in that. You know, the way you show up at work is very similar to the way that you show up at home, isn't it? Because you're the same person at work as you are at home. So that opportunity to kind of like think about you as a wider person, do you think that's something that social media needs to kind of wake up to?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
Would you say there's been a change in your mindset since you stopped drinking? Do you think about things differently?
Yeah, to a degree. Yeah. Like, say, with the house move, that's something I wouldn't have thought about last year. So that's changed me. That's got to be the biggest change.
You mentioned running. So I guess stopping drinking has had a positive impact on your running?
Yeah, massively. I get up now 6 o'clock a couple of times a week. I'll go, like this morning, I went and dropped the 13K running before work. I certainly wouldn't have done that last year. I was sort of rolled out of bed at 7:45, you know, and got to work. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have done that last year. So that's changed. By not drinking, you're awake. Like, I do parkrun on a Saturday morning as well. And I found while I'd be drinking on a Friday night, getting up to do parkrun, not feeling properly awake. So I was just sort of battling myself constantly. So by not having that there, I'm more consistent, which a lot of people will say, and I sort of agree with as well.
Yeah. So basic fact that you have more time, as it were, so you're able to run more, but it's also improved the quality of your training when you are doing it. Is that a good way of summing it up?
Oh, massively. Yeah. When I look at back how I was sort of performing last year to how I am now, I've come a long way. I mean, it's not going to take it serious or anything, but, you know, when I look back how I was last year to now how I am now, yeah, I've come a long way and really enjoying it. So my fitness levels have gone up. Not drinking just has a knock-on effect through a lot of things in your life.
Do you, that knock-on effect, I mean, I totally agree with you, but do you think it's improved your relationships as well?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many times where you drink too much on a night time, and then the next morning you're trying to remember what you said. If you know you're falling out with somebody, things like that. That doesn't happen anymore. So some moments when I think back how it was a bit, you cringe at it. Think I was an absolute knobhead. To put it in best way to put it.
Yeah, well, look, we've all been there.
Yeah.
Sure, everybody listening along is nodding away. So how do you find socializing these days? Is it different? Is it better? Is it an issue? Do you do it less? Do you do it more?
No more, no less. I mean, it was a strange year, I say, because I come from quite a sociable family. We didn't have any sort of social occasions till about June. So I had a good sort of 6-7 months before I had to socialise. And we went away last Christmas as well. So the first, and I was only, 6-7 weeks into it at that point. So that was good. I mean, I didn't have to sort of face Christmas or any, sounds unsociable, I didn't have to go to any parties. So I could have a bit of me time just to sort of get over my first Christmas out of the way, which was fine. And then the first big family party was in June, when it was my mum and dad's big anniversary. It was their 50th, 60th, but it's fine. Nobody mentioned the fact that I was drinking AFBs. Nobody really cared, to be honest, you know, doing their own thing. I think to a degree you sort of worry about what other people are thinking, and you don't really have to be honest.
Yeah, I was having this conversation with somebody at the weekend. She was very worried about what other people were going to think of her. And I was like, honestly, other people don't think about you. Other people think about the mortgage. They think about, what their idiot boss and his plans for world domination. They think about that odd rash that they've got. The last thing they're thinking of is what you've got in your hand. So,
And if they are that worried about it and it bothers them that much, then they're not worth being around.
Yeah. I make you absolutely right. I interviewed recently said, sometimes you have to curate your friendship group, which I think is a rather nice way of putting it. But it sounds to me like, your family are pretty cool with it. Your friends are pretty cool with it. It hasn't had that much of an impact.
No, not at all.
I know that, that's brilliant news.
Yeah, I suppose being lucky, I've never had a big like group of mates. I've never been one to go out after work or, down the pub with the lads. So I've never sort of had that anyway. So I suppose I was lucky. I haven't had to give that element up, if you like.
Oh, so would you say that you're beyond alcohol now?
I sort of say to people, I'm not drinking at the moment. I don't say I'm never going to drink again. I'm not drinking now. And I've got no plans to go back to it because I don't see what benefit it's going to give me. How is it going to improve what I'm doing now if I just have a drink tonight other than a headache tomorrow? I went around somebody's house recently on a Sunday and they had spent the whole of Saturday night, early hours Sunday morning drinking. And then they spent the whole of Sunday, well, like hell. And I just thought, that's half your weekend gone. And it used to be me, but you just don't think about it when you're in the moment, do you? I'm not judging that person. It's up to them. It's their journey, isn't it? But yeah, I look back and just thought that's what I would have done. And I don't want to do that anymore.
I think you're right. I mean, we don't come from a point of judgment because, oh, how many weekends I used to ruin, it would be a little bit much for me to suddenly claim to be a saint. But I guess it is an interesting observation, isn't it? If you spend 5-6 hours drinking on Friday night, the same on Saturday night, spend even 4 or 5 hours Saturday and Sunday getting over it, it's like, congratulations, you have a part-time job.
Yeah, I was putting my wheelie bin out the other night, my recycling, and it was like, it wasn't even half full. Now, before, it would have been full. So I think our bin man thinks I've died.
yeah, well, I was a little bit worried about that shop I used to buy wine from. I was like, what are they going to think?
Oh, no, they're going to go out of business.
In fact, when we were chatting the other day, did you say it was nice putting your recycling bin out and it not rattling?
Yeah, it's quiet now. It's just bin things.
Yeah, because I actually live around the back of a pub, and every now and again they empty their glass bin that they have where they put all of the bottles, and it makes a god awful noise, and it always sort of like makes me chuckle. It scares my wife, but it makes me chuckle because it does. I used to think, oh yeah, that used to be me.
Yeah, on a daily basis. Yeah.
So, well, look, I mean, it sounds like you're enjoying life a whole lot more. That's what I get. It's all being positive. There are no negatives for you.
I certainly haven't found any. I know everyone's different, but I certainly haven't found any.
Yeah. And I think what I get from some of the things that you say, why would you go back? Because you can't see any advantage to it.
Correct.
Therefore, why would you do it? And I there's so much power in that. It's like if you can't see the advantage of it, you can't miss it, can you?
So what, no, exactly. You, yeah. That's exactly how I feel, yeah.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, do you go to IKEA very much? Is that, well, are you going to now you're moving house?
My mum texted me the other week. She said, could you take me to IKEA? I was like, yeah, sure. Okay, fine. She likes IKEA.
Does she like the meatballs?
I think my mum does. I've never had them.
Oh, okay. See, my theory is that they always taste awful. It's just some people feel the need to eat them when they're in IKEA. Because it's like, you go to IKEA, you've got to eat the meatballs. But nobody really likes them, which is sort of like my odd way of getting into this question. So what is the one thing about being sober that nobody really wants to do, but everybody should do?
I suppose they want what I've got now. They just can't see themselves doing it. It's the fear of missing out, isn't it? Fear of being different. Which I think I've just put aside, and I've said before, it's my journey, not theirs. And you've got to be a little bit selfish, I suppose. You've got to make it all about you initially, is how I felt anyway.
Do you know what? I don't think people say that often enough, but I do think getting sober is a selfish act to start off with, but mm-hmm. it gets you in a position where you can be a better father, a better employee. So it started off being selfish, but now is it something that allows you to give more?
Well, yeah, because I think you're so much better as a dad. I've got more time for the kids. You know, you're up earlier on a weekend for them. You don't worry so much about getting back from certain events. So you can have a drink on a night time, or like Saturday night, we went out to a fireworks display, which was a drive out. Well, I wouldn't have been able to do that before because I would have been drinking from 2 o'clock in the afternoon, probably. So it just has a massive knock-on effect to the rest of your life.
Yeah. So, yeah, it started off as something that was for you but has ended up giving to everybody. I think that's really nice. And you mentioned kind of the fear of missing out, but I guess you've got to a point now where you don't think you're missing out, because if it doesn't have any benefit, you're not missing out, are you?
No, absolutely not. Like, you know, we go camping a lot, and I thought that was a big one as well. I thought, you get there, you set up camp, and then you sit around the campfire and have a drink and everything. I thought that would be really strange, but we've done it several times this year. My wife's been, she still drinks. My brother's come along with us every time. He still drinks and I don't. Next morning, I'm fresh as a daisy. We can drive into town or whatever. I'm got to worry about whether I'm over the limit to drive. I'm going to get taxis anywhere. Big bonus. Yeah, I'm going to talk to taxi drivers. Sorry, taxi drivers.
It's not the money, it's the taxi drivers.
Yeah.
champion. And I don't know. I mean, I sometimes think we should start talking about the joy of missing out, but then I sort of think, well, no, we're not missing anything, but we should just talk about the joy of being sober. So, you're obviously enjoying it, right?
Yeah, big time, yeah.
At this point, I normally ask people how they can get in touch, because a lot of the people that I interview, they sell things. So you do work in sales, don't you? So what do you sell?
I specialize in pumping systems, pumping viscous materials.
If there is anybody listening to the podcast who's in need of a viscous material pumping solution, you're the man, right?
I'm the man.
Would you be all right if I put your LinkedIn profile on the show notes, and then maybe people can, because you do post quite a bit, don't you?
Yeah, I put on there, I comment on other people's posts quite a lot as well. So yeah, if people want to get in touch.
So that's the best way to connect with you. Yeah. People want to ask you a few more questions or anything mm-hmm. like that. But look, that has genuinely been a fascinating discussion. And I think you've offered us a load of really, really great insights and a few things to try. But most of all, you know, I just love talking to people who they're enjoying it, you know, and you've got so much out of sobriety. I think that's an amazing thing to share. So thank you.
Yeah, I think with what people sort of worry about giving up is that they're going to think about it all the time. And I think you would be miserable if you just sat there and thought, oh, I haven't got a drink tonight. You can't do it like that. You've just got to, it's just the next chapter. You can't sit there and think about something that you're not doing anymore. Go and do something else. And lucky for me, I've got lots of hobbies, you know, that are an interest. So we've got a lot of allotments as well. So we go up there on the weekends. Great for the kids. To get out and get away from technology. So get out. Don't just sit there thinking about something that you're not doing anymore. Go and do something else.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a very interesting point as well. And again, we don't want to be critical of anybody else's approach, but I think it is too easy to just end up in a community of people like either actively have a problem or previously had a problem and then just start to define yourself by that problem. But what you're saying is, you know, like there's a little bit of pain and suffering to get over in the moment, but actually you just go out, get on, do stuff, fill your life with other things, because
mm-hmm. exactly that, yeah, exactly that.
Get yourself an allotment, get yourself some running shoes, you'll be fine.
yeah.
Fantastic. Look, thank you so much for your time today, Benjamin. I absolutely appreciate it. Like I say,
no problem.
You know, it's so beautiful to hear your story, because it's obviously done so much for you.
Yeah, couldn't recommend it.
Cool. Thank you so much for your time and have a great day.
And you. Cheers, Em.
Well, that's all we've got time for this episode of Flatpak Sober. Don't forget to visit flatpaksober.com. You can check out the show notes there. You can also take our Sober Styles quiz and figure out what your sober style is. So coming up on the next episode, I've got an amazing interview with a guy called Jesse Jackson. He's got quite a different sort of approach to being sober. He's got a slightly different story, because as you've probably started to guess, I do like people with a slightly different story. But most of all, he's just most obsessed with Bruce Springsteen, so he can't be a bad person because I love Bruce Springsteen. And we got into The Boss and a lot of stuff around obsession and fandom and how that relates to alcohol. So very, very interesting episode. So join me and Jesse next time on Flat Pack Sober.
I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did bringing it to you. If you love what you're hearing and want to stay updated, join the Flat Pack Sober community on Facebook. Don't forget to click the subscribe button.